This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, week 15 kicks off tonight in Seattle. Interestingly enough, DraftKings just went to 3. Okay, so this had been San Francisco laying 3.5 for a while now at Seattle as we welcome you in. Lombardi Line Thursday. Hope you're having a nice week. Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You see it on your screen there, though, Michael. DraftKings, they are juiced up 125 on the 3, but they have dipped to 3. How we doing?
We're doing great. I think there's a lot of action on the Seattle team. I mean, you know, I don't know why. I mean, after last week's performance, you know, where they gave up 220-some yards rushing. I mean, Sam Darnold only had a throw for 104 yards in the game. And, you know, the last time they played him, Patrick, was the Trey Lance injury game. Remember? Where Lance threw 3 passes, hurt his knee, unfortunately. And then Garoppolo came off the bench. They only threw 21 times after that. They ran for 200 yards against them, and the 49er defense created 3 turnovers. So, look, Femi and I just got done with the pod, and you know, something always strange happens up in Seattle on Thursday nights. I mean, it's going to be loud. It's going to be festive. You know, to me, I'm staying away from this as far as I possibly can. This will be a gated community for me. I'm not going to get involved, but my numbers tell me to take San Francisco.
A gated community play. I think there's something to that. We can mix it in. Of course, GM Shuffle, Mondays, Thursdays. Go to VSiN.com, wherever you get your podcasts. Week 15, 4 weeks to go in the regular season. Also wanted to mention bull season underway tomorrow. We've got a bull picks page. I guess the bull betting guide is just blowing up. People love it. But we've got a specific page that kind of categorizes all the picks. Go to VSiN.com right now for that. Of course, Purdy tonight dealing with the oblique. We'll have plenty of time to get into that matchup as the show progresses here. We've got a lot to do. We've got Mike Palm, the return.
Back, of Mr. Palm. The return of, yes. Mike Palm, yes.
Looking forward to seeing him. Mike Somich is going to join. Will Hill, our usual cast of characters on a Thursday. We were talking before the show, kind of a slow day. You know, it's interesting. The playoff races are starting to heat up. There's a lot of action. There's a lot going on. We've got the 3 games, including the nightcap, Miami at Buffalo, in freezing temperatures on Saturday. Remember, 3 Saturday game, Michael, but kind of a slow day. And so we wanted to back up to what happened on Monday. You know, you feel for the kid. We always joke about Kyler Murray, but he's done. Mm-hmm. I would assume it's going to be 8 to 10 months. Is that what you're hearing as far as the timetable for Murray?
I would be surprised if, to me, I said this on the pod, I think to me, if you're the GM of the Arizona Cardinals, and we know Steve Keim, hopefully he's okay too. He just took a leave of absence for health reasons. If you're the GM of the Arizona Cardinals, you got to say to yourself, we're not going to have Murray next year. Because the version of Murray that you may get isn't the version that you want. I mean, what we know about Kyler Murray, now I'm talking about the player, not the person. Right. What we know about Kyler Murray is he's not a great drop-back thrower. He's not a great pocket. That he makes these wow plays, these roadrunner plays, beep-beep plays when he's on the move. If he loses a little bit of that effectiveness, then where is he? He's not a pocket passer. This isn't, you know, when Brady got the torn ACL and came back, you know, you knew Brady was going to snap the ball and he was going to be behind the center. He was going to throw it from there. This kid is not that. So I would err on the side of caution if I were Michael Bidwell and the owner of the team, because we got so much invested in them that we're going to have to figure this out for next year.
The extension, and we talked about it, many talked about it, but the extension when it was given, the issue with Murray is as the speed, the quickness, the quick twitch starts to regress a little bit, you're getting a devalued player. I mean, because he just can't stand in the pocket. He's 5'9", 5'10". He can't stand in the pocket. So if he comes back 20% less, 15% less, 10% less, I mean, you're really taking a precipitous drop as far as what you're going to get from him as far as production.
I think there's no doubt. And so, look, you know, let's put things in proper perspective. I wrote about this on Tuesday for the VSiN Online, and this team is 6-14. Since that bye week, they come back and play Chicago in Soldier Field. They have only won 6 games since then. Hmm. And Murray missed more games this year, too, because of a hamstring. So, like, when you basically throw it all in, I know you gave him this enormous contract, but the results have been far from overwhelming. And I think you've got to reevaluate your time. And obviously, without your general manager in there, do you know what are you going to do? There's a lot of uncertainty. This has not been a good year, the 2022 year, for the Arizona Cardinals in terms of their decision-making and their performance on the field.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened on the plane flight from Arizona to Los Angeles for that wild card game, right? But it's almost like something imploded from that point forward, because they have not been the same team, and they were a disaster at SoFi in that wild card game for a multitude of reasons.
And they were bad the week before against Seattle. Remember, Seattle goes out there and beats them, and if Russell wasn't turning the ball over then, it wouldn't have been as close as a game as that was. So there's a lot of uncertainty, but I think we do know this, is if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, you know, I would not rush Murray back. I think it's imperative that he has his full quickness, explosiveness, and you've got to see it, because without that element in his game, he's just not a good player. And frankly, this year, he's been in my bottom quarterbacks all year. Even with that element in his game, he wasn't very good.
You know, there were a lot of questions, and I'm seeing a lot of it posited about whether or not Kingsbury returns. My assumption is Bidwell's not going to pay out that contract, right? I mean, Keim,
yeah.
You know, we don't know what's going on with him. We wish him the best, but it looks like he's going to get some medical treatment, stepped away from the team. He just extended Kingsbury. It's almost like Keim, Kingsbury, and Murray are intertwined for the next five seasons.
It was entourage. It's funny. They renewed for another year. They just miss Ari. They don't have Ari out there, you know? I mean, to me, I don't know what he does, but he's got a team that's trending in the wrong direction, and now they go into Denver. Right, and they go play a team that's trending in the bad direction. I mean, this is a game that I think this is the first time since I've done power rankings that both Arizona and the Denver Broncos ended up with the exact same number in a power ranking. The exact same number. I mean, it's just kind of remarkable. Now, I know the line has opened up as a pick 'em, but it shifted. But then, Patrick, when I get into my game codes, these two teams are similar in game codes, too. You know, they're similar. They have one strength, two okay, and then they're 11 bad. You know, Denver has three strengths, two okay, and 11 bad. I mean, this is like my board is lit up with red when I compare these two teams together. And so you got Brett Rypien, Vern, against Colt McCoy. Can they protect? Can they handle it? You know, it's one of those games where all you got to do is pick the winner, essentially. But can you pick the winner?
Well, you just said it, because we're looking at the board. Our board is showing Wilson. My assumption is there's no chance he plays with the concussion. So
I mean, he hasn't cleared protocol. It's a little bit like, okay, not to jump around here, but let's jump around. Kenny Pickett, you know, he's coming off his second concussion. There's no chance he's going out there. I think it's Mason Rudolph. I think Mike Tomlin has saw enough of MVP Mitch that, okay, I'll go at least with Rudolph. I can at least control some of the things.
Yeah, Denver right now, they're actually, DraftKings has a 3 on the board, but mostly everybody's 2.5. Colt McCoy, Arizona. I don't know how much of a step back that's going to be having Colt McCoy under center. The problem with Arizona is you're starting now with 4 weeks to go. You're looking at motivation. Well, for many of these teams, you know, this is a perfect example for new bettors to understand. It's not just what you've seen. Arizona and Denver, it's very much about motivation, players making decisions about their careers moving forward. This is that time of the year.
No doubt. And it's, look, you can't blame him. I raised this question to Femi, and I ask it of you, too. If you're Lamar Jackson and you're sitting at home on Monday night and you watch this, what are you doing? I mean, look, you could say, well, you got to go win one for the Gipper. I don't know about that. Like, if I were Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh and Steve Bisciotti, I would be worried the impact of that. How is this going to affect his rehab? Now, I'm not saying that Lamar doesn't want to play. I'm not suggesting that, but is it a good business decision to continue to play unless you're 1,000% healthy? I think that's the question.
Well, I know he's going to make a call to his agent. It's either he calls himself or his mom. They're in a tricky spot. We know that Jackson is supposed to come back right around Christmas, right? But they're also, Huntley's in concussion. Now, Huntley did practice yesterday, so it looks like he is going to play coming up this weekend, but yeah, Lamar Jackson watching that injury go down without the contract, you got to take care of number one, and he's shown the willingness to do just that, that being Jackson.
I mean, if he had an agent, the agent would be saying, Lamar, let's be careful here. You know, I mean, the fact that he doesn't have one, I don't know what that means, but to me, it's fairly obvious. It's like any of these kids that opt out of the bowl games, you know, that have high stature. I mean, you know, why? Look, I love the wristwatch. I love the Under Armour gear. That's all great, but I could risk something bigger than that, so I'm going to opt out. I get that. I understand that completely. Now, if you opt out of a championship-level game, I don't quite get that, but to me, I get the other.
You know, the assumption is Baltimore-Cleveland, we will get. And Watson looked, I don't know what you thought. I thought he looked a little better in his second start. I think some went a little overboard with that start at Cincinnati. Watson still looks completely lost out there. And Cleveland,
I think this line is overboard, Patrick, don't you? Why
totally
is Cleveland 3-point favorite?
They're three. They're 2.5, but they're starting to see some threes pop up. My TBD on the quarterback. Huntley practiced yesterday. It was a full practice participant with the concussion, so that must have been cleared yesterday. There's no reason Huntley's not going to be playing.
They wouldn't have put him on the field. Remember, Wednesday is Thursday when you play a Saturday game.
Right.
And Thursday, this is Friday. So we're going to get the reports, the injury reports out of those three teams today that is going to be the Friday injury report. So we're going to really know. But if he practiced yesterday, he's playing.
This is an overreaction. This right now, the threes that are starting to pop up with Cleveland Lane. Cleveland's out of the Cleveland can't make the postseason. I think it's like 0.02%. So Cleveland's out of it. Baltimore completely motivated to stay in that North race. It's 2.5 with Cleveland. Cleveland's been getting respect in the market now. They got respect in the market against Cincinnati.
A lot of it. There was a giant dump on it, you know?
Yes. Hey, I want to switch it up a little bit because I just came up across this. Ritter is starting for Atlanta. A lot going on there. I want to come back and get your take on that in New Orleans as we continue. Of course, Thursday night, week 15 kicks off tonight in Seattle. We're back. Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, I mentioned at the top of the show, the Bowl Guide is doing great. In particular, betting the regular season and the bowl season is a completely different animal. So we have picks on every bowl game, power ratings for every team, bowl betting strategy, VSiN.com/subscribe. Remember, to get these guides, you have to be a pro. It's worth it. Pros are making money, but in particular, I think AD and the crew with the website did a great job because there's a bowl picks page where everything's categorized. So you can go there right now and just get the best bets if you want. Make it simple. Conference trends, stats to back it up. It's the College Football Bowl Betting Guide. Remember, we're underway. I think it's the Bahamas Bowl tomorrow as we get underway with bowl season, 42, 43 plus games. VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, we're back, Lombardi Line. We've got plenty to do. It's going to be fun. Is it inclement there, like weather-wise? Because, you know, the big conversation around Miami and Buffalo, I'm sure you saw your boy McDaniels at practice yesterday with the shirt on that says, I wish it was colder. Well, if Miami wishes it was colder, why at SoFi, when it was like 60 degrees, did they have bench warmers, the Miami Dolphins? They're going into a place in Buffalo where, by the way, it's going to be 28 degrees. Last time I checked, 32 is freezing. It's going to be snowing. Good luck with that, Tua, who has struggled in the cold. We know that.
I think he struggles in the rain, too. Go back to that Tennessee game. It wasn't even that cold at Tennessee that day. And he struggled once it started to have precipitation come down. Look, you know, I mean, you could all say, I mean, everybody can sit here and talk about, well, it's, you know, the cold, it's just state of mind, it's a mental thing. No, you got to prepare for it. And it just doesn't come, okay, let's get ready. One day we're going to go out there and we'll get used to the cold. No, it takes some getting used to, and it takes an understanding of how your body feels when it goes like that. So, I mean, for me, you know, I mean, I think it's going to be a real struggle. I'm anxious to see how this is going to get handled. You know, and how they play this through and what happens. And when he played at Tennessee, you know, it was 43 degrees. It was the wind was 13 mile an hour and there was light rain. I would say that was a nice day in Nashville for December, the whatever it was, right? So this is going to be a lot different. And the judgment of the wind when you're in that stadium is way different than the judgment of what the weather report is. I think when you go back, and I did this week, when you watch the tape of the Bills-Jets game, I think the weather had a lot to do with the inadequacies of both offenses at times. I don't think it got portrayed that way when watching the game on television, But I think really just studying it and looking at it, I think the weather had a huge effect.
Okay, odds and ends right now, of course. We've got plenty of time. We'll get to that Thursday night matchup in Seattle, division rivals. San Francisco, by the way, can all but wrap up the division with a win tonight.
It's a T-shirt and hat day, Patrick. It's a T-shirt and hat. If they win, they're in. It's a T-shirt and hat day.
They played great. They've won six straight. Of course, Purdy, I'll ask you about the oblique coming up in just a bit. But let's do some more news and notes before we get into – we got Will Hill joining. We got Samich. We've got the return of Palm. I want to ask you about Ritter. But quickly, I want to ask you about Jeff Saturday. So I didn't know if this was an audition. Of course, he's gone 1-3 in 4 weeks as the interim coach. The win against the Raiders, start and three straight losses. I didn't know if he was just coming in to play carekeeper or if this was an audition for his job. I'm going to play a clip for you and have you respond. Here's Jeff Saturday discussing.
Sure, yeah.
You're going to plan on interviewing for
this? Absolutely. Yeah. I plan on interviewing as long as they, you know, give me the interview. I'm in. Yeah, hopefully. I enjoy the heck out of this and have had a lot of fun doing it. And again, I'm not discouraged at all. I know I have a vision of what this could look like in the future, plan to work that way. And that's what I do every day, is work towards that goal, understanding what that looks like.
Okay, well, here's what he can do. If he's looking for the owner, he can buy a pack of Marlboro Reds, head down to the owner's meetings on a golf cart, start ripping some cigs, and say, "Hey, Jim, what do you think about me coaching the Colts next year?" There's Jeff Saturday. He's not wavering in his desire. Your thoughts?
No, I think he's, you know, he's got a plan. He says he has a plan for it, obviously. Mm. You know, I think he's had conversations with Irsay prior to taking over. I don't think this is – now, he's going to go through the interview process. I would be surprised if he's not the head coach of the team next year. I would be really surprised. I don't think it matters if he goes 0-4 the next four games. He's got Minnesota, the Chargers, and the Giants, and then he ends up with the Houston Texans at home. I would not be surprised if he ends up – if he loses all those games and ends up 4-12-1, he's still the coach next year. I think this is his vision. What he's citing is the vision of what the owner probably wants to hear. So – I wouldn't be surprised. Now, my question to you, back to you, Patrick, is has he done anything to improve the team?
No.
Of course he hasn't.
No.
So, like, where is – like Steve Wilks, who's not saying he wants the job. He's just coaching his ass off, right? Steve Wilks has improved the Carolina Panthers. He's given them an identity, okay? It's fair to say that. Now, a lot of that was because they traded McCaffrey, which forced them to declare who they were. They've managed the quarterback. They've improved defensively, and they've won a lot of games that a lot of people didn't think they could win, including me, once they made that change. So Wilks, has made a better case. I could see improvement with Carolina. I can't see improvement with the Colts.
The Panthers were playing left-handed. Now they're playing right-handed, meaning they're a completely different team. And that's not a knock on Rule. You know that. Rule's going to do a great job in Nebraska. The difference with Indianapolis is they've just kind of floated with Saturday. There has been no formulation of identity. I'll take it a step further with Saturday and Irsay. I think Saturday, essentially, it's Irsay will tell him, do you want the job or not? I think Saturday is going to tell him, I'm going to coach next year or I'm not. From what I understand, you can answer this. Those two are very close. So
yeah, I mean, let me ask you this too. Okay, so let's do second order thinking here. So let's say Irsay doesn't hire Saturday. You come in. You know Saturday's going to be looking over your shoulder. He's still going to be a consultant, right? You know he wants the job. Who are you getting to take the job? Think about it. Who's coming in to take this job knowing Saturday? Even if he goes back to the worldwide leader, where's it? You know, he's still going to have
around.
It's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be Commissioner Gordon calling Batman on the red phone. I mean, it's not changing.
You know what that reminded me of? When maybe when I was 16, 17, and I was dating, and I first got my driver's license, I used to drive by my girlfriend's house just to see what she was up to. I just see Jeff Saturday driving by the facility when there's a new coach.
Where's he going? Like, he's not going anywhere. He's a consultant. He's still going to be on the payroll. I mean,
I see you.
Yeah, I mean, and so you're new unless they hire a guy with stature, like, okay, say they hire, you know, Sean Payton, or they bring back somebody, I don't know, Bill Parcells, let's say. Not that that's – but my point is like, other than that, everybody's – if he hires some young coach, they're going to be looking over their shoulder the whole time,
totally.
Saying, okay, what's Saturday telling you? You know, and then are they going to make Saturday the general manager? Are they going to get rid of Chris Bauer? Are they going to make him the – like, come on. Like the way this is set up, unless he's going to go away completely, which he's not. He's not going away completely. Like, if I were a coach, I would say, look, I'll interview for the job, but as long as Saturday's involved in the organization, you should just make him the coach.
That, and there's one coach – and it's Peyton that's going to have the cachet in the offseason to pull something like that. By the way, sandwich game coming up on Saturday, Indy at Minnesota. We don't have to give your number now. In fact, hold on to your number. I feel like Minnesota, I understand they're getting disrespected in the market, but it feels a little short. Minnesota's going to be bitter coming off that loss in Detroit. They're laying 4. Indy's coming in. Indy's a fledgling program right now. 4 is the number. Does that feel short to you with Minnesota laying it?
It really does, and I'll just give this out. It's one of the games that my numbers aren't even close to the line. They're not even close to the line.
Good tease.
So, but when you break down the game, other than red zone defense, the Colts have no strength. The Colts are not in the top 7 in any category. Sack per pass play, they're 9th, right? So their codes are not very good. Whereas Minnesota, you know, Minnesota is not great in a lot of areas, but they're not bad in any of them, all right? They're 22nd in sack per play. They're 19th in points per play. They're 13th the last 10 weeks. They're 22nd in forcing punts per play. They're 19th in the fourth quarter. None of these are in the bottom third. Meanwhile, they have some areas of strength, like red zone trips, like luck, like all these other things. So I'm with you, Patrick. I think the line's a little light. I think that people are just blown away by Minnesota losing last week and the way they played, but this team can move the football. Now, the Colts are good on defense at times, but if you can throw the ball on the Colts and protect, Darrishaw's coming back to play left tackle. I think you got a chance.
Yep, 4 feels light. Will Hill's going to join the show, and then we're going to get into Michael's writing spotlight. Good job, Elliot, at the 45. So I want to put a bow on news and notes with this. What are you hearing for Peyton? Is Peyton going to coach next year? If so,
a couple options. So, first of all, wherever he goes, you've got to agree to a deal with the Saints. Like, he's just not free to coach. It's got to be compensated because he's got to get out of his contract. So, it's got to be somebody who wants to do that. I think he's not going to want to take over a team that doesn't have a quarterback and is a mess. Like, would he come into Denver? I mean, that's a hard job, Denver, right? I mean, if they fire Hackett, that's a hard job. You know, would he take the Charger job? There's a line that's going to be from your house down to Long Beach to try to get that job. Everybody wants to coach Herbert. So I think a lot of it's situation. What opens?
I don't think McCarthy's going anywhere, which is interesting now with the Cowboys. You're 100% right. They're going to be lined up from Hermosa to Inglewood to coach Herbert. That kid is he's a marvel. When we come back, Will Hill, he's got to play on Thursday Night Football here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, happy holidays from all of us here at VSiN, and we've got a great deal for you. Access to, of course, VSiN 24/7, betting guides for bowl games, brackets, and the big game. Our betting splits is probably, when you become a pro, probably the most popular tool. Actually, it's not probably, for sure. It's all $79 right now, so here's what we're going to do. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. If you sign up right now, we're going to take you through March Madness for $79. We've lost our minds. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. And when you do right now, you get $20 in credit to the VSiN online store, which I don't know. As we say hi and welcome you back, Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. We're going to bring in Will Hill. If you'll notice, when we show Will here, he has a good looking sweater on or a pullover, and it's a Lombardi Line pullover, which is really sharp. I have one too. As a matter of fact, I wore it to go get coffee the other day because it's cold.
There you go.
But here's my question. Can I go to the store and pick up a Lombardi Line pullover? Michael.
No, we can't get it going. We haven't been able to get that going. We've kind of swung and missed at that. We tried last year. It never worked. I don't know why, but maybe we could try again. I don't know. I got
Here's next hands-on meeting with Len. I'm going to bring it up. Can we get some Lombardi Line gear in the store? Because it would fly off the shelves.
Yeah,
okay.
We need it.
As we welcome you back. Hi, Will. How you doing? Will, you know, have you started looking on Zillow at property in like West Bloomfield or Birmingham? These are cities in Michigan because you're a Lions fan now.
Lions are fun. Yeah, I kind of wish I went bigger last week on the Lions. The Vikings never really stood a chance. It's a team, once they have all their players on the field, they really move the ball. Now they got Jameson Williams back. They're a good offense. I don't like them this week. I don't know if we'll get to that game, but they're fun. This run might be a little late here, and it's funny. It started with that Fields pick six like a month ago where this was a dead team, and they played well since. This might be a little late to make a playoff surge. I think they'll probably fall a little short, but hey, they played well here. They got a nice pick from the Rams, so you got to be feeling good about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, look, all their numbers, in fairness, and I've not been a Lions lover all season, and their numbers defensively have certainly improved. And when you see it, their ability in the last five games, they're the third best team. Their points per play is fifth. Their offensive line has done a great job of protecting. They're fourth in sack percentage, and they're the second best team in red zone trips. So, like, you can't deny what they've been able to do here. And so, the way Goff is playing, as many times I make fun of him with the table for two by the heaters, he actually has played well in cold weather.
No, they've got a very good to great offensive line. They've got five legit weapons on offense, Will. Goff's playing great. And Johnson, who's calling plays, is their hidden weapon. I mean, this kid, he gets into a rhythm with the play calling. So, yeah, no, they've been awesome. The offense is beyond legitimate. The defense is a little bit smoke and mirrors. However, I was laughing because that was Will being a little passive aggressive. Those that know, Will is, of course, a Minnesota Vikings fan. So that was emotional. A hedge for him last week. Okay, no. let's get to tonight. You do like the under in the matchup with Seattle and San Francisco.
Yeah, as far as the game itself, the side, I just so torn on the game. It's a stay away for me because at some point I think Purdy is going to look like the last pick in the draft. And boy, this game was a pick 'em a week ago. Now you're laying 3.5 with a quarterback that's banged up. No Deebo Samuel, his first start on the road. So everything would point me towards Seattle. It's a game Seattle needs. If they lose this game at 7-6, they go at Kansas City next week. They still have to play the Jets, and they get a layup sort of the last week of the season against the Rams. This is kind of a kitchen sink game for Seattle. So you're getting 3.5, you're home. And if you like Seattle, you got to get the 3.5. The only problem is, and you guys mentioned at the top, the run defense. The last three games, they've given up 700 yards rushing. These don't look like real numbers. These look like Big 12 numbers when you look at the rushing yards allowed. I mean, the Raiders ran for 280 plus, 7.1 yards a carry. The Panthers last week, 220 yards, 5 yards a carry. And then even the Rams, 5 yards a carry, 170 yards rushing. So now you're going to bring in a San Fran team where this is their bread and butter. So this is really a bad matchup for Seattle. So to me, it's a stay away. I think the ball's going to be on the ground. The clock's going to be running. I don't imagine Seattle putting up too many points. So I would bet the under here. As far as the side, I could see this landing right on 3. To me, it's a stay away in terms of the side.
43 on the number, Michael. He likes the under here.
I could see it. The clock's going to run. I mean, I don't think Purdy's – I don't think no matter what happens in the game. One thing about San Francisco, because of how good they are on defense, the game's never going to get away from them. I don't see Seattle coming out and jumping up 14-0 early. Maybe they can, but I doubt it. Especially Seattle with two young tackles going against this rush. And then, they have been able to run the ball. Last week against Carolina, they struggled to run the ball. Against the Rams, Walker got hurt. But even against the Raiders, they only ran for 65 yards. And they've been turning the ball over at a rapid rate the last 4 weeks. Since their trip from in Munich, when they came back from that, they have not been the same. And so, for me, I was a little bit, I don't see it. Like, I don't see them being able to play run defense or pass defense. And Tampa, which we know is not a good offense. I mean, Tampa put 419 points on them. And the Rams, that game, they were a 7-point favorite in that game, and they should have blew the Rams out, yet they turned the ball over twice in the Rams' territory.
Yeah, I will add one thing, too. Yeah, DraftKings right now, Geno Smith is minus 600 to be comeback player of the year. McCaffrey's right behind him, but he's plus 750. If you think San Fran's going to win this game tonight, Seattle, there's a good chance they miss the playoffs. Are they really going to give Geno comeback player of the year if they miss the playoffs? So maybe, if you like San Fran, you just throw a few bucks on McCaffrey plus 750 at DraftKings. That's a good price here for comeback player of the year. It's higher than it is at some other books. So maybe that's a way to play it.
I think you pointed out the variable for tonight, the recent slide for the Seahawks. You look to that run defense. Opponents have rushed for at least 161 yards in the last four games, and you mentioned two going over 200 yards. It's been a soft run D. Just you have other plays, but wanted to follow up. Michael and I felt like that 4 may be a little short at Minnesota. Look, I just look at the Pittsburgh game when Indy hosted Pittsburgh on that Monday night. Pittsburgh dominated Indy. I mean, that was, and now they've lost three straight. They're going to Minnesota. Do you feel, as a Vikings fan, I know you're a little, it's hard for you, but do you feel four is short?
I don't think it's hard for me. I think I've had a good feel for this team. They don't beat anybody by margin, the Vikings. They can't stop anybody on defense. That being said, I do think it's a little short here, the four, because the one thing Minnesota doesn't do, you know, well, or the thing they do really poorly, is defend the pass. The Colts aren't really going to expose that. So the Vikings, they're home, a chance, like you guys mentioned, a hat and a t-shirt game. This is the Vikings, a chance to clinch the division, something they haven't done, something they haven't won since 2017. So I think they'll move the ball. They'll get their 24 or so points pretty much on everybody. They have really good offensive personnel, and I don't know that the Colts can keep up. So, again, you don't ever feel good laying points with Minnesota, but this is one where I feel like they can win by a touchdown plus. I think this is a pretty good matchup for them. So I did bet Minnesota minus the four. I like this spot for them.
I mean, if they stop the run, how does Matt Ryan beat them? I mean, if they stop Jonathan Williams from running the football, like, how does that happen? I mean, this is a game, it's all about pace. I mean, to me, the way Minnesota doesn't cover is if Indianapolis has the ball 35, 36 minutes. And they're not out, and they're converting third downs, and Williams is running, and they're just slowing the game down and really taking the play clock down to 2 and 3 seconds and reducing the game. Because if they go out there, I know the Colts are decent on defense, but you can throw the ball on the Colts, especially on the road. I think that's what you have to do. I mean, look, they threw the ball on New England. They made plays. New England slowed the game down and still lost.
I will say, for the Vikings and Vikings fans, public enemy number one is that defensive coordinator, Donatel. It seems like he just gives 7-8 yards of cushion to every team. I don't know when you watch the film, Lombardi, is that an accurate criticism of the defensive coordinator in the scheme?
I think a lot of the scheme is predicated on them getting rush from Smith and Hunter, and they haven't done that. Right, I think they're counting on that. They don't, if they know they can't, and their corner situation. I mean, they're going to sign a corner off of Miami's practice squad who's not very good, and you know it hasn't really played all year. So that's how, you know, desperate they are in the corner situation. Their secondary's not great on the outside, and so he's trying to cover that up by playing. But where he's really lacking, and it's really become a real issue for him, is his sack per play. They're 22nd in the league. You know, and their third down defense, which was really good in terms of getting off the field. Everybody looks at the third down number as it, but it's really how many third downs do you allow converted in a game is the key number, right? They're 12th in that category. So they can get off the field in third down as opposed to what's your third down percentage, because not all third down percentages are the same. So, I mean, I agree. He's trying to cover up a lot of sins, but the biggest sin of all is Hunter and Smith not getting pressure.
Will Hill has three plays for this weekend's NFL action. We've got a minute and a half. I'm going to pick one to get the other two Will plays. You have to go to become a pro, VSiN.com/subscribe. So I'm going to pick one. I'll go Buffalo Lane 7 hosting Miami.
Miami's been exposed here. I think defenses are adjusting. They're dropping the linebackers. They're taking away the middle of the field. They're making Tua throw to the outside of the numbers, and he can't do it. And now you're going to add some weather, the cold, a good defense. I think Buffalo wins this game by 10-plus points. And, boy, the bigger question, the bigger picture, not from a betting standpoint, but if you're Miami, are you going to give Tua big money, big years here down the road?
Do
I think
it.
It's next year they have to pay him. They're probably going to do it, but –
they can't wait to do it. Are you kidding me? They can't wait to do it. They can't wait. Every time they turn around, they're promoting Tua as the great. That's the problem. See, the reason people like, you know, I don't hate Tua, but I hate all the publicity that they put around him and making him better than he is.
Okay. You want those other two plays from one William Hill, you've got to go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Hey, what's your wife do, by the way? You got like 6 kids over there. What's your wife do?
April.
Exciting summer for the Hills coming up. Okay, thank you, buddy, and good luck tonight. Appreciate you. Coming up next, Michael Lombardi's writing spotlight. Who's been the best team in the NFL the past 5 weeks, and what's behind the Brady decline? We'll get to that next.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
You got it, Mikhail. And as Elliot just said, you know what BetMGM is great at? They turn losses into wins, and you can do that tonight. Just place a single first touchdown score prop bet on any Monday or Thursday night pro football game. If your bet loses, you're going to receive up to $25 back in free bets. It's a great offer. turn a loss into a win again. A single first touchdown score prop tonight. If it loses, $25 back in free bets. It's a great deal from the King of Sportsbooks. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have a problem. That offer is not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. You got to be 21 years or older. Okay. Good job, Elliot. Elliot Bauman, our new producer, doing a hell of a job as we welcome you back. The Writer's Spotlight. Remember, if you're a VSiN Pro, you can get Michael Lombardi's exclusive articles, but we'll give you a little taste here. And I'll just ask you, who has been the best team in the NFL for the past 5 weeks? Michael Lombardi, what you say?
I say the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, their numbers have risen tremendously in every single category. You know, because of their ability defensively, they're running the football. And when you break them down where they've been, you know, where they have been able to, since they, you know, they got all their pieces back, right? So they lose to Kansas City. They lose to Atlanta. They don't have their team. In week six and week seven of the season, they lose. They kind of struggle. They beat the Rams, you know, without their team. They go on a bye. And since the bye week, I mean, they have been sensational. Five games, they've given up the highest total point they gave up was 17 to Miami. And, you know, they've been really dominant. They've been able to run the football effectively. They've been able to throw it. They've limited their turnovers. They've only turned the ball over three times in the last 5 weeks and have created 12 turnovers.
Yep, and a great quote there. We can throw it up on the screen from Michael's article. For all the talk about being patient with Trey Lance because he was a second-year player, he wasn't playing well. Brock Purdy, as a pure rookie in his first start, played better than Lance in any of his games, and I think that's well said. It's a great quote.
Isn't it true, though? Like we
know, of course.
This is what happens to us in betting, too. I think there's a betting tip here. We tend to make excuses for teams. We make excuses for players. And, you know, it's like the old adage in scouting. When a player shows you who he is, believe him. Now, I'm all for being patient. I understand that. But Purdy did something in that game that we were hoping Lance would do, but he never could do it. And well, you know, we made an excuse for, you know, like to me, well, how come Purdy can do it? Well, one of the reasons why I think Purdy can do it is because he's got like 46 career starts. It's one of the reasons why I don't think Desmond Ridder is going to walk into the Superdome and look bad because he's never played a pro game before. But he's got 49 career starts, Desmond Ridder. So I just think to me, it's an opportunity for you to kind of weigh both sides. All the Trey Lance fans haven't said a word about Purdy being so good. And I'm not a Trey Lance hater. I'm just saying it's hard for me to understand how you could take the guy, the third pick in the draft, wasn't recruited as a quarterback coming out of college, didn't play his senior year, didn't have a lot of rep. Like, you're really asking a lot. You're taking an athlete, not a quarterback.
There is something Gladwellian about Purdy, right? He's completed 71% of his passes, 395, four touchdowns, one pick, ran a touchdown in. And what I mean by that is, you know, all those starts, he started four seasons in Ames. So all those starts, it's a different level, but he doesn't look overwhelmed. Lance looked a little scattered, and for good reason. Lance didn't play his final year in North Dakota State. He's essentially a kid coming in with nothing. Like, you've seen it with Deshaun Watson. He looks like a completely different quarterback in two starts.
Yeah, I mean, just it takes time, right? It's why I don't understand. Like, I love Anthony Richardson as a player, but I don't understand why he's leaving school. I think he needs more seasoning. He needs more time there. So, you know, you can't replace these reps. These reps are gold. You need them. You need them to become a great player. You need them to get better. You know, you have to go through the struggles to reach greatness, right? Nobody just turns it on and is great right away, right? It takes sadness and to get to euphoria. You've got to work your way through it. And I think ultimately these kids today, I mean, they want to rush themselves when, like, Purdy and Desmond Ridder, they took their time. Now, I'm not saying Ridder's great yet by any means, or Purdy. But all Purdy has to do is get the ball to these receivers and let them do the work. It's the same thing Lance had to do. Now, I know they didn't have McCaffrey, but it was the same concept.
Pardon me, a little over 67% on the completion, but that tells you a couple of things. One, Shanahan's making those throws easy for him, and two, he's able to execute, and that's kind of being in the rhythm of game speed. Purdy's done a fine job. Again, this would be tonight with the oblique if he does play, which our assumption is he will, absolutely. But it's going to be his first true road start. It's going to be a bit of an environment, so you'll see what Purdy's made of tonight.
Yeah, I think we will, but we won't, because I don't think if you're Kyle that you want to ever you're not going to let this guy go into a hostile environment and basically not that's be fair. Able to handle it. I think that's too hard. I think you got to do everything in your power to protect him. I think if you're Seattle, you got to expect – and Seattle did a good job on bootlegs last week, you know, on Sam Darnold. They try to run a lot of boots and a lot – you know, to make it easier for Darnold. Darnold didn't have to make a hard throw in the game. You know, he didn't have to make a hard throw in the game. He passed for 104 yards and they won. The key to this – look, if your strength is your defense, which it is in San Francisco, and your strength is your running game, then use that. And play the game, reduce the game. I think that's where Will Hill's under is a valuable play because I think if that's your mindset, that's how you have to play the game.
Good point. Especially with that injury, Shanahan's not going to let Purdy get exposed tonight if he finishes the game. I think that's well taken. Okay, the Bucs should, I guess I put it that way, should win their division. We shall see. Carolina's going to have something to say about that. But the question I have for you is what's behind the decline of Brady and the Bucs? They're hosting Cincinnati this week. They're catching 3.5. What's behind the decline this year for the Bucs?
Well, I think there's a couple factors, right? They're not very – they don't have any ability to run the football. We've seen it every week. I mean, Brady's on a course – I wrote about it. He's on – you know, he's going to throw 45 passes a game. You know, that you can't do that in the NFL. In a league where – we talked about this on GM Shuffle – The average number of passes has been reduced this season. People are running the ball more. The average attempts are down. The average yards per play are down. Everything's going trending in the direction away from throwing. And Brady at 6.2 yards per attempt is the lowest of his NFL career. And so they can't run the ball. They have no play-action pass game. The team is not set for his success. There was a report the other day that Brady will not be back with Tampa Bay. I would say, I don't know who reported it, but I would say without a doubt that's probably accurate. I would say that without a doubt because his contract expires, and I think he's seen life outside of the Patriot way, and like all of us that have, it's uncomfortable and it's not important, and it does, and it's hard to survive. It's hard to survive.
Okay, but there's a distinction in what you're saying. You're not saying he's not going to play football next year in the NFL. You're saying potentially he doesn't play for the Bucs.
I don't know if he's going to play football or not. If he does play football, it's not going to be in Tampa. I think he would want to get to an environment that he was more comfortable in and set up so he could have some success. Because right now he doesn't. I mean, he has no tight end to throw the ball to. He doesn't have an H-back. He doesn't have a receiver. That he, you know, I know Mike Evans is a really good player, but Mike Evans, you know, is on the outside. Brady doesn't throw the ball outside the numbers down the field. That's not his area of strength. His area is throw the ball in the middle of the field. I mean, when the Jets would play the Patriots, Rex Ryan would pack the middle of the field like Brendan Staley did against Tua. Pack the middle of the field. Make him throw the ball outside. And that's not something that their team's not set up for success. And here's the other part. I said this in the column, Patrick. I mean, take the Bucs on the under right now for next season. There's a tip for you because they're going to lose Brady, and there's going to be a huge amount of acceleration that goes into their cap, and they're not going to have a quarterback.
No. What is it, Jeff Driscoll? The Evans, the wide receivers don't get separation. I think you said it well. Fournette's not exactly a speedster. I will say this. You know, Brady said it when he was going through the drama before the season started. He said, I'm 45 years old. There's a lot to life, right? I think now that the life situation with the divorce and everything is kind of in his rear view, my assumption is he plays next year. I mean, you could just tell he's still into it. You could tell he's still into it.
From a talent evaluator standpoint, when I watch Brady, I don't see a decline. I see his arm as good as ever. I see his movement, frankly, as good as ever. You know, I think his timing and his anticipation is as good as ever. But like a lot of things, like a lot of players, even when you're the greatest of all time, you need to have the right supporting cast and the right scheme around you to maximize your talent. That's why, to me, I said this on the podcast, the Mekhi Parsons comment about the Eagles, to me, was a compliment. It's a complete compliment. He's in the right system for the right player at the right time. I mean, that's utopia in the NFL.
Yeah, Brady looks to be the same. So next year he'd be 46, still slanging it. We're in a different era, my friend. We're in a different era.
Yeah, we are.
But Brady, my assumption, I think he plays next year. Okay, when we come back, here's what we've got: 45 minutes, which we consider some of our best of the week, with Samich and then Mike Palm. So when we come back at the top of the hour, I want to ask you about Mike Leach, the untimely passing, and then also let's start capping Thursday Night Football. You've got San Francisco. Remember, we're 3 at DraftKings, 3.5 at other shops like BetMGM, so get the right side. It's Thursday Night Football, Week 15. It kicks off. We'll cap it next.